The time is 1:54 p.m. Call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. We are in Belch Room 105, the Thomas Stewart Building, here in the beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today, we are taking up one bill, Senate Bill 88, defined benefit option and retirement systems. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. Members present are Senator Merrick, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off or silence your cell phones. I'd like to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Juliana Singh, and our LAO moderator, Talia Ames. Today, we have public testimony on Senate Bill 88. My intention today is to continue with public testimony and leave it open for further comment later. I intend to go till about 3:15 today, and I'll be alternating between testimony here in the room as well as LIOs from around the state and off net. As a reminder to members of the public, you all may submit written testimony, and I encourage you to do so after you give your written or your oral remarks. Submit written testimony to slac@akleg.gov. Once again, that email address is slac@akleg.gov. If testifiers are speaking from written testimony, please again email that address and we'll get your testimony on the record. Please limit your testimony to 2 minutes. We're watching that time very closely, so please wrap up when I prompt you to do so. As always, please keep your testimony respectful and your comments appropriate. We will begin our public testimony today in the room, Garrett Odom. Mr. Odom, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Garrett Odom. I am a fireman EMT with Capital City Fire Rescue here in Juneau. I have a unique perspective as I was also a state employee for about 6 years of human resources. In that time, I did exit interviews with DEC, and an overwhelming majority of people I spoke to that were leaving the state did so for better retirement benefits in the private sector or other places down south. As a fireman, I serve CBJ. I serve everyone in this room. My brothers and sisters here, the same. We run about 5,000 calls a year, and of those calls, every single one of those, the people that call expect perfection. We strive to give perfection. Our issue is we are losing people with experience, and that we're losing them to our states down south that have better retirements. So it leaves that perfection. We have to work. We work a lot more, right? Because we just don't know. We're having new calls, seeing new people. What this bill does is it takes a step forward to retain this knowledge, the skills, abilities, this experience that we look for, right? This bill not only affects public servants like myself, but it affects the whole state because we're going to be able to retain this experience to help people in Anchorage, to help people in Bethel, help people everywhere get the best EMS service, get the best fire service, the best teachers, the best public servants everywhere. So this, like I said, this is for everyone and not just us.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Odom. Next up, online, Jason Taurainen. Mr. Taurainen, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Taurainen. This is Jason Taurainen of Nikiski, Alaska. I work for Nikiski Fire Department. I also am on the school board for Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And I'm one of the lucky ones that started early enough to still be in the defined benefit program for PERS. And so I'm blessed with the ability to earn that defined benefit, and it would take an act of God to get me to quit my job before I earn that retirement. And so the previous testifier talked about people leaving because they have portable retirement systems and they can take somewhere else if there's better benefits somewhere else. Part of the thing that's appealing and was appealing to working in Alaska in public sector or as a teacher and sticking and having longevity. One of the things that we had such a great education system because we had longevity, people that were sticking to it and were honing their craft and becoming great teachers, and with people that are coming into the fire service and honing their craft and becoming great paramedics, great EMTs, and solid firefighters and promoting into captain. We're losing people nonstop. We're training nonstop. And we're actually in a crisis point where we're starting to lose that the people that should be here and promoting up because they're moving into other things that are better for them, and that shouldn't be the case. These are great jobs, and we need to make them better to keep the best and the brightest. And implementing a defined benefit retirement program is one of those key ways to do it. The other one is to actually deal with pay and to deal with some other things, but one of the big things is defined benefit. I support this bill. Please pass this bill. Throw us a lifeline and help us to retain the best and the brightest and to attract the best and the brightest. I thank you for your time. I thank you for the ability to give testimony. Thank you, Chair, for recognizing me here today. Please have a wonderful day. And that's all I've got.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Patty Wise.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Vice Chairman, and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Thank you for hearing my testimony regarding defined benefits. My name is Patty Weisel. There is an L on the end of it.
Weisel, I apologize.
No problem. Thank you. I'm from Fairbanks and represent myself and my family as very concerned citizens. I was born here, am a lifetime Alaskan. I have raised or helped raise 5 children here. My husband is retired after 30 years of employment with the same company here in Fairbanks. I am a nurse, and I was an EMT for many years before that. We are opposed to reinstating defined benefits. We as a state still owe over $7 billion from the plan we got rid of in 2005. Even though we as a state are paying on that debt, it continues to increase. How do we pay for these benefits? Do we add a sales tax? Do we add income tax? Do we take the PFD, which legislators already say we can't afford? You hear about retention rates. Studies found that retention rates did not change when the state went from a defined benefit to a defined contribution plan in 2005. Simply put, the citizens of Alaska cannot afford going back to a defined benefits plan for anyone in any form. We urge you to oppose Alaska defined benefits, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Weisel. Next up, Gail Harbo. Ms. Harbo, please state your name and begin your testimony.
My name is Gail Harbo. I've been a resident of Alaska since 1957. I think Senate Bill 141, which put in the defined contribution program, has been a disaster to the stability of our school systems and to our community. Dollars now flowing out of the state as DC people leave after 5 years and withdraw their money and their employer's money amount now to well over $100 million annually. Under a DV plan, the employer contributions would stay in the plan when the employer terminates. There is no stability provided by a DC plan to classrooms, school programs, and communities. In an environment already challenging with high costs of fuel, gas, electricity, and fuel, not to mention severe weather conditions, the reasons for DC members to stay are not sufficient, since they are also faced with an uncertain retirement. Figures show that the current DC plan costs as much or more than tiers two and three. If any of these people do stay until retirement, they will probably have to apply for Medicaid to help them with health care when their dollars in their HRA runs out. I'd like to talk about the positive impact retirees in the DB program provide. Over $3 billion a year in pension benefits, health care dollars, and other retirement income flow into Alaska each year from these benefit payments. This is equivalent to dollars paid to Alaska fishermen for the mineral production in the state and nearly equal to the dollars spent each year by tourists. More than 60% of DB TERS retirees receiving defined benefits stay in Alaska. The pension dollars and the health care benefits paid out to these residents amount to more than $300 million a year. When retirees reach age 65 and qualify for Medicare, additional federal dollars come to the state. Since 2007, as of February 2023, there are only 247 people from the DC plan and combined FERS and TERS who have retired.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Harbo. Up next in the room, Eric Godin.
Good afternoon, Chair Yorkman, Vice Chair Bishop, and members of the committee. My name is Eric Godin. I'm from Anchorage, and I'm a small business owner. I've lived there since 1987. I'm here speaking in opposition to the defined benefits bill. I think it's fairly apparent to everybody in the room that the state is hurting, the country is hurting financially, and for the last 6 years, we have not seen a statutory PFD, which has resulted in a regressive tax against Alaskans who can least afford it, nearly every man, woman, and child. Excuse me. So I would like to ask, why are we looking at adding an unknown liability when we are still fighting with the last program and still fighting with how we're going to fund even this year's budget? I don't think it is affordable. I think that most Alaskans will never even see the glint of an opportunity of a retirement program like this defined benefits package. I understand that it is a great retirement package I'd love to have, but I will not have that opportunity. So for us to all share in the sorrows of the state, I think that it's fair that we have the defined contributions. It's not perhaps as stable as some people would like, but it is fair and it is affordable. It's not giving us an unfunded liability. It's not giving us something like we see in California where cities are going bankrupt under the weight of their pension plan. I love my firefighters. I love my police officers in Anchorage. I know that the main reason people are leaving is not retirement, but actually burnout from seeing the same people that they are getting calls for time and time again. Senator Dunbar, I'm sure you're aware of the downtown fire department does not actually have a set staff. They actually rotate in from the other departments in the city because of how busy they are, how many calls they get. Normally, mental health, substance abuse.
Please conclude your remarks.
Thank you for your time. I think my point is clear.
Thank you for your testimony today, Mr. Godin. Up next, Sandy Ryan.
Good afternoon, Chair Bjorkman and committee members. My name is Sandy Ryan. I'm a 36-year teacher of high school mathematics and computer science, and 29 of those have been spent in Fairbanks. I currently serve as the Fairbanks Education Association president. In 1993, when I applied for a position in Fairbanks, there was no opening. I did what everybody does when they apply. I got myself here, paid for my trip, visited schools, interviewed, did well on the written exam, and that's when I learned there was no opening. I was amazed. I was a math teacher. But what I learned was that at that time, Alaska was one of the most attractive places for education. Salary and benefits and a secure retirement system. Unfortunately, times have changed. Policies have moved, and our emphasis on education has died away. In 2006, the rug was pulled out from under public employees and teachers with removing a defined benefit. As you know, to complicate the issue, teachers do not pay into Social Security. There is no safety net for us. The result of salaries and benefits shrinking and the security and evidence of an inability for districts to attract and retain. There's now over 1,000 openings statewide for teachers. The vast pool of applicants has virtually dried away. It is time again to support and honor our public servants and a defined benefit retirement is a critical first step. Please support SB 88. I thank you for your service and your time.
Thank you, Ms. Ryan, for your testimony. Up next in the room, Evelyn Dutton. Apologies. Sally Duncan. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Sally Duncan. Last name spelled D-U-N-C-A-N. I live in Two Rivers. I came here to offer my words to all of you in regard to this bill. It is very expensive. It is more expensive than my people can afford. I'm in District 34. My people cannot afford this bill. We're already paying for a bill that we had from way back that's not been paid off. And it seems to me like maybe we ought to pay our debts before we think about adding to the debt. I think that's it.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Up next, Joe Bertagnoli.
Hello?
Hello. We can hear you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee for allowing me to speak today. My name is Joe Bertagnoli, and I'm calling from Petersburg. I am representing myself. I'd like to testify in support of SB 88. I started working as a public employee in 91 for the city of Petersburg. I opted to leave the private sector in construction, mainly for the pension and the insurance. I recently retired this past year after 30 years, and I'm very grateful to have this pension for my spouse and I as we continue our life's journey. But being a tier higher, I felt confident all through my career and in my future, as it was always an incentive to stay with the city, which is now a borough, to serve the citizens of Petersburg. So then in 2006, when the state moved to tier four or defined contribution, a lot of that incentive to stick around for a long haul was gone for new employees. Over the last 15 years, I've seen the carousel of new employees coming to work for the borough, and with diminished retirement options, they only stay long enough until something better comes along. They move to different employees within the borough, or they move out of town completely, and they take all that training that they receive from the borough with them. And this goes for, you know, every other, you know, teachers also. This only makes for more expense to the borough, having to retrain new employees, and does a disservice to the citizens of Petersburg when you lose the longevity and experience of the workforce. This trend can also be seen in our school systems as the turnover teachers who are replacing the older teachers with a defined benefit program are retiring. And I've heard somebody state how many teacher vacancies there are, and because they come and they go. This isn't a Petersburg story, but a statewide story. I just had a chance to see it firsthand as I was in the system for 30 years. A problem must get fixed and soon. The current system just isn't working, as you have heard it from a lot of your testimonies. I believe SB 88 will go a long way in doing so. We must recruit the best possible employees we can get and keep them once they're hired. SB 88 can get us back on that road. This may not be the fix-all, but it's another tool in the toolbox to help employers hire and keep good employees.
Thank you for your testimony.
With that, I urge you to support SB 88 from your committee.
Up next, Barbara Tyndall.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing testimony today. My name is Barbara Tyndall. I live in North Pole. And I certainly pray and hope that you don't have this sentiment, but I was in a similar meeting where we were discussing expenditures, and I am of the conviction that we do not need to go into debt. I don't want to go in debt as an individual, so I'm speaking against SB 88. I don't want to go into debt. I don't want my city to go into debt. I don't want my state to go into debt. I have been in Alaska since 1958. I came as a child, and I've told earlier I was at the statehood parade when I was 10 years old. And I've been here all my life. I raised my kids here. My grandchildren, many of them are here, and I love this state. I've lived all over this state. I graduated from high school in Valdez. I've been in Fairbanks for over 30 years. I love this state. But it grieves me when I see, and you say, you're right, people are leaving our state. But that is, retention is not just an Alaska problem. It's a national problem. It's in every state. And I do not think it has to do with the benefits. And I really say, you know, I know that I would love to give everybody the best retirement. I would love for everybody to get everything they want. I want my grandchildren to have wonderful things, but I can't, there's things I can't afford. And we just can't afford this. We already sunk $7.4 billion into debt when we had this before, and now we want to put it back and go into more debt. And I'm saying, let's find some ways to make things work. And I know there's ways to make things work. I'm telling people to steward the funds that we do have and do what we can and get come out of the box and get inventive. You know, we can do it. I've seen people do a lot with very little. And I taught in a private school for 20 years, and we made a do with very little, and we gave an excellent education. So, again, I just urge you to find some better ways and to turn this bill down. Thank you.
Thank you for your remarks. Up next, online, Bert Hodling.
Hello, my name is Bert Hodling. I'm testifying from Big Lake, Alaska. I represent myself, my children, and my children's children in the future, and about 5,000 Alaskan voices. We can't understand how you could be planning to spend money that has already proven a track record in the past of putting us billions in the hole. We still have billions to be paid back a deficit in the current pews and tiers and defined benefits program that you guys have already have in place. Nowhere have you explained where this mythical unicorn tree of money is to appear from to actually pay for all of this. Nowhere is there a breakdown of what the municipality or the borough levels will have to contribute to be able to match their share. Just the Mat-Su Valley District Borough alone already owes $400 million to their peers and tiers defined benefits program that is still yet to be paid off. How many billions are you going to put our children into the future into debt, and how do you plan to pay for it? I do not see anything in your plan that defines that, let alone the $2 billion plus in increases in all the other bills going through besides just this one. Again, you guys really need to take a hard look. If I was to spend the way you guys do, my neighbor's property would now be mine because I would need it to pay for everything else. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Alexander Reno.
Chair, co-chairman, representatives, I appreciate you guys giving me your time today. My name is Alex Reno for the record. I'm here on my own behalf from Anchorage, Alaska. Born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska. Have a background in finance and marketing. And kind of just going off of what everyone else is more or less saying, we currently have a liability of about $6.1 billion, not to mention, as the previous individual stated, the other bills that are trying to be pushed through, as we currently have the deficit and the expenditures in the budgets. The real question just comes to is, where are we going to be getting this money from? Where is the actuarial support that's going to be supporting this proposition that you guys are trying to implement? And really, I would just want us to look at it from a perspective of really business. I mean, there's no financial way for us to really go about this other than restructuring what we currently have, paying off our debts, and then maybe looking at implementing a system similar to this. But at the same time, no other state is currently regressing back to a defined benefits program. As one of the previous speakers spoke on, California currently has a pension plan that's pretty much going insolvent at this point. I'm sure none of you want our state to go insolvent either. Neither would anybody else in the room, I would hope. So, yeah, I would say that people kind of just have to take responsibility, be financially educated and literate in their own lives, and probably not rely on the system as much as they might want to. Other than that, I appreciate all your guys' time once more, and hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go online, but to get the next person up at the table, we'll call your name now. You'll be after the next online testifier. Next up in the room is Janet Johnson. Next up online, Tucker Cooper. Mr. Cooper, please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes. We'll come back for Mr. Cooper. Ms. Johnson.
Hi, my name is Janet Johnson, and I'm from Palmer. And I am here to testify for myself that I know for a fact that we cannot afford this plan because I am a product of a defined benefit retirement system. And I worked for 28 years. Paid into the system, and when I retired, 2.5 years later, I had withdrawn everything that I had paid in. Do the math. I'm not going to tell you how much I make a month off of it, but do the math for those other 20-some years. Who's paying for that retirement system? We cannot. We cannot do unfunded retirement systems. We can't. Our state just cannot do it, and I'm here to say, please, don't pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room will be Liam Carnahan. Going back online, Marta Mueller. Ms. Mueller, please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Marta Mueller, and I am from Anchorage, Alaska. Today, I'm representing myself and supporting SB 88. You are hearing a lot about recruitment and retention, and I know a lot of people are going, so what? Let me tell you what it costs the state. It costs the state time for training, lost productivity, and loss of innovation. When you have people coming and going, they don't learn where to make improvements. If you want good government, keep good employees. To keep good employees, have good leadership and pension benefits. Thank you for being good leaders, and thank you for considering public employee pension. A little bit about myself. I am a 19-year Tier 3 state employee. I have been a supervisor for 14 of those years, and I have a one range 12 position that's $20 an hour to start. And I've had to replace that position, go to recruitment 4 times in the past 3 years. It's not working for us anymore. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, ma'am. Up next in the room, Liam Carnahan.
Liam Carnahan, as on behalf of the SU, the State Supervisors Union, I wish to express our gratitude and thanks for you and your colleagues for introducing and considering this Senate Bill 88. Many of our members have dedicated years of service at the state and have watched the decline in the state's ability to find people willing to take jobs in public service. Many of our long-term members are in defined benefit tiers and can attest the incentive that a defined benefit pension creates for our members to stay in their positions. We have also watched our younger members and direct reports in other bargaining units start work, stay for 2 to 5 years, and leave taking their employee contributions and employee match with them. To deliver the vital services Alaska residents expect, the state needs to attract and keep trained staff. As managers who do recruitment and members routinely encounter smaller pools of applicants and even fewer applicants willing to take job offers, that leads our members to recognize the delays and disruptions to public services that are caused and exacerbated by intermittent interminable vacancy rates. The inability of the state to successfully hire and retain employees has resulted in many of us taking on additional duties caused by vacancies and managing employees who are experiencing low morale from having to increase their workloads with fewer resources. This has lowered the efficiency of state government overall. I keep checking my time because I got a personal thing that I want to get in before I get. We support pensions not only because they benefit our members, but also because restoring a pension option is sound financial decisions on the part of the state. Pensions have features unavailable to individual market accounts, longevity, risk pooling, higher. All right, I'm going to cut in my time. So, look, let me cut off there and tell you just from a personal perspective a sad story. My son has been a 5-6 year employee with the State Department of Transportation as an engineer. He's in the process of leaving state service to go to work for the Federals, in large part because of the pension that's offered by
Please
the
Please wrap
Federals.
Up your remarks.
What?
Please wrap up your remarks.
Thank you very much for your time. Oh, my son's not coming back to state service.
Brief at ease. Testimony up next online, Jerry Clueworth.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm Jerry Clueworth. I'm speaking for myself, although I am a member of the Fairbanks City Council. The defined benefit plan, as you all know, the original one was a financial disaster for the state of Alaska. Right now, the plan in front of you, as I see it, has three major flaws that I hope can get fixed if it is implemented. One is the discount rate of 7.38%. The original rate was 8.25 under the old plan, which was way too optimistic, and one of the main reasons it went into deficit. Kentucky, by comparison, is using a 5.25% rate for their discount rate. They find that that seems to work, but most of them that work are between 5 and 6%. The second problem with the bill is that it is based on the high 5 years, including overtime. That is a major oversight. Overtime for some of our firemen at the city actually exceeds the base salary. How the actuary or the arm board can take that into consideration for looking at the solvency of the fund, I do not know. It's almost impossible to do. It should be based on the base salaries for those 5 years. Finally, a defined benefit plan has one fatal flaw in that it promises, makes a legal promise to pay regardless of the ability to earn. When the state goes into deficit, the Constitution kicks in and you have to cover that deficit. Finally, about a shortage, yesterday we heard from our fire chief that we had 40 applicants for one position in our fire department. There is not a shortage of applicants in that department. Finally, I would ask if you could proceed down with the defined benefit plan to address those two problems, the discount rate and the inclusion of overtime. And at the very least, I hope you indemnify the municipalities at the 22 cents we currently have to pay into the system so that that would not be increased. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Corey Crossett. Following Corey in the room will be Peter Flynn. Mr. Crossett, please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Corey Crossett. I work for the Juneau School District as a teacher. I've been here for 17 years and longer living in the state. I originally came from Washington. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 88. It's my hope that a return to a viable defined benefit system will make it so that I can afford to continue my career here. I'm 55. I know that at some point I'm going to need to retire. I've got several more years in me, but right now I really have to question whether or not staying here is the right thing. I originally intended to move here because the defined benefit package was attractive, but life got in the way and I didn't start teaching until 2006, a couple months after the system was changed. 17 years in, I really would like to stay here. I don't pay into Social Security. that's a problem. I don't have a defined benefit system, and there is in other places where I would need to move to. I raised my family here. I love it here. I want to stay here. Financially, I have to be able to do the right thing by myself and by my family. The other day, my daughter asked me, she's away in nursing college right now, Dad, are you and Mom still going to be there if I want to return back home? And I said, I hope so, honey. I really do. But I'm not sure at this point. And so that attraction, the retention side of this bill is key. And I've been on both sides of it. And I hope that you manage to pass this, even if whatever changes it needs to make it viable. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next online, Matthew Epp.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to speak here, Senator and members of the committee. I'm speaking in opposition to the bill for a couple of reasons. Some that I've learned today was the unfunded liability from before, but that also kind of explains why I'm opposed to it in the future. Either two things are going to happen in any kind of a Ponzi scheme, which is what this would be. You're not going to have enough money coming in to cover future expenditures. And so either you have to reduce those expenditures or you bankrupt the system that's supposed to fund them. The same problem we are going to have with our Social Security system probably here in the next 20 years or 15, depending on who you talk to. I moved to Alaska myself just a few years ago because I wanted to be in Alaska. And I've got 30 years experience in consulting engineering as an oil field worker and whatnot. I have retirement that I brought with me. And I've got to tell you, I'm thrilled with the retirement plan I have now, because I'm already putting more away than I was ever before. In fact, that I didn't realize when I got here that I would not be paying Social Security anymore. I've already qualified for it because of my previous life, so I kind of get the best of both worlds. But I'm very much in favor of the current plan. And if you choose to go forward with this defined benefit plan as opposed to the defined contribution plan, then I would encourage you to at least make it optional to all new employees so they can either opt in or opt out of whichever program they feel is better for them in the future. And if you insist on going forward, but I would prefer that you maintain this current system and that those of us that work for the state have the benefit of living here and the joy of living here can be responsible adults, plan our own retirement, and not have to rely on our children and grandchildren or others in the future to make sure that we can still stay here and enjoy this beautiful state. I appreciate your time, and thank you very much for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room is Peter Flynn. Following Peter in the room will be Danielle Logan. Mr. Flynn, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Peter Flynn. I'm a 7-year firefighter here in Juneau. I've lived here since 2004. And for 19 years have lived and served this community in one capacity or another continuously. I also went to UAS. I stayed in the state, became involved, engaged citizen, and servant here. In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm one of the model citizens that our retirement program is targeting, that you want to keep here in the state, retire here, spend dollars here. Despite all this and these roots, my family is still looking at Washington retirement and pay or a total career switch to have a safe, healthy, secure retirement for them and myself as well. Many peers have left, leaving an enormous job knowledge gap and the least experienced training those with no experience. This is costing the state an enormous amount of training dollars, time, compromising firefighter safety, and affecting the quality of your public service. Please support this bill and support those who serve your communities. Without this bill, we'll likely be following our peers at some point in the near future for greener pastures. And with it, we're very likely to stay and spend our retirement serving and spending our dollars in this state. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony today. Up next in the room, Danielle Logan, followed by Crystal Hoffman. But first online, Edward Smyers.
Thank you very much, Chairman. First thing I would say, I appreciate all you guys are doing, Senators, for the state of Alaska and for the people here. My name is Ed Smyers. I'm from Eagle River, Alaska. I'm a small business owner. I'm a state employee, and I'm also a proud member of the ASA Local 52. I'd like to talk about the retirement benefits. When you go look for a job, we can't retain people because of the retirement system right now. the retirement, you know, when you first join up, you want to look at retirement security. We don't have that. The private sector has a better retirement system right now. In where I work in the Department of Health, we can't get people to work because they don't want to sign up. We have a 22.8% PCNs that are not filled in the Department of Health, and partially because of the retirement system that we have. We need to offer the same services to the public, but we can't do it unless we have the people that are professional and that can hire and that will stay with the state of Alaska. People ask me, how are we going to pay for this? You know, Tier 1, 2, and 3 are pulling out from the PERS retirement system. There's nothing going into it. We have an unfunded liability. Some of the things we can do is we offer defined benefits. People start paying back into the PERS, and it'll give us a little bit more time to work out this unfunded liability. Again, a retirement system, we need to have one if we want to retain good people for the state. Employees are very important to the people, and we need it. And I just like, again, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate all you do.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Danielle Logan.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce. For the record, my name is Danielle Logan. I am a born and raised Alaskan, and I'm a seven-year educator in the Fairbanks North Shore Rural School District. There are groups making the case that switching to a defined contribution system was a smart decision and that the changes have been positive. I can tell you that from the perspective of a Fairbanks educator, that change has been overwhelmingly negative. Working in our schools used to be a career, and though many of our ESPs had to work a second job, they stayed in their career in education because they were also earning a pension. Now many leave for better wages in the private sector and have no incentive to stay as adults to help our students succeed. Over the past 3 years, our support staff has had more turnover than ever before. We have had many vacancies, vacant positions like tutors, sped aides, and classroom aides who are there to help students learn. Our custodial staff is short-handed, and oftentimes schools are running without a custodian. This results in less student learning and less ready to learn spaces with unattained staff doing jobs they're not hired to do. Next, I'd like to add, Senate Bill 88 is a shared risk proposal that will save the state of Alaska and school district in the long run and provide public servants with much needed retirement security. As Senator Giesel has said, this is not your grandma's pension. It is a modest proposal, has robust risk sharing measures to protect the state of Alaska from fiscal impacts. Educator support SB 88, Senate Bill 88, will make a difference in the lives of education support staff professionals, and our students will benefit from the reduced turn of the adults turning in their learning environment. Thank you for this opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Ms. Logan, for your testimony. Up next in the room is Crystal Hoffman, followed by Ron Johnson. But first, we're going back online to Paul Seaton. Mr. Seaton, please state your name. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. This is Paul Seaton. I live in Homer. I'm speaking for myself. I'm a chair of the House State Affairs Committee in 2005 when we addressed the retirement question. We addressed the problems under Tier 2 and Tier 3 defined benefits, which were recruitment, retention, and $300 to $500 million per year unfunded liability. Recruitment was lagging under that program, and for 30, 40 years before, we had been one of the highest paying states, but by 2005, we were less than average. Secondly, under that, retirement was not a concern for most entering employees, pay was. And third, the retirement system gave no state contribution until vested 8 years in TERS or 10 years in PERS. On retention, the average retention in TERS was 9.5 years, and the average retention in PERS was 11 years. So considering vesting, approximately half of all the workers received no money that had been paid into the system by the state on their behalf. Those invested did, but did not retire directly from the system with 30 years, got $25 per month per year of service. For example, 10 years of service gave you $250 per month, which is basically the same amount that we give the neediest under the senior benefits program. unfunded liability at another $300 to $500 million budget item for all future budgets would not make budgeting easier. I know there is a difference, but currently the state is paying actuarially calculated 31.1% rate. So the current rates that you're talking about are not even near that. I encourage you to look back at the documents we had in 2005 for employee recruitment and retention under PERS and compare those to today to make sure that you are finding a solution to the problem by going back to a defined benefit system. I think we all know the
problem. Please conclude your remarks.
That is pay. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Crystal Hoffman. Ron Johnson.
Good afternoon, Chairman Borkman, committee members. My name is Ron Johnson. I live in the Matsu Valley outside of Palmer in the community of Butte. I'm here representing myself. Last fall, before the November election, this conversation was brought up. There were some candidates that supported this, and I was in total disbelief. In 2005, 2006, I think that the state legislature saw that we were heading for a train wreck, and so we discontinued this program. Industry had seen the train wreck coming long before elected officials did. I retired from the building industry, and I've never seen a defined benefit plan. The industry a long time ago went to defined contribution. They saw it was not sustainable. You heard my wife testify. The money that she paid into a defined contribution plan, she withdrew in 2.5 years. She's going to be retired for 25, 30 years. You know who's paying that bill? You and I are. Now, here's the thing right now, and I'm kind of aggravated. We're already over $6 billion in deficit on our defined benefit plan. If you remember, Governor Parnell was the last one that tried to. We had a little extra excess money. I forget how many millions of dollars he threw in that. Mr. Bishop, you were here. You remember we tried to pay that down a little bit. And here's what aggravates me. I have children and grandchildren in the state of Alaska. If we go back to defined benefit plan, the projection is the next 30 years that we'll incur an additional $9 billion in deficit. I cannot, in good conscience, saddle my great-grandchildren with that debt. I won't live that much longer, but they will. This is ludicrous. What are we doing to our posterity? So I oppose this plan, and I thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, if you could come to the table, Vicki Hewitt, followed by Seth Church. Next up online, Brittany Stilley.
Thank you, Chairman. Can you hear me all right?
We can.
My name is Brittany Stilley from Fairbanks. I have worked for the Division of Forestry and Fire Protection as a wildland firefighter since 2012. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm here to express my support for SB 88, which would provide a choice between defined contributions and a defined benefit pension retirement plan. As someone who has dedicated their life to this profession, I can attest to the fact this change would greatly benefit recruitment and retention efforts and improve public safety and protection from wildland fires. In my profession, I have witnessed the loss of a considerable amount of highly trained and experienced firefighters due to pay and benefits that are not competitive with other agencies or the private sector. This has resulted in significant loss of skills and knowledge that are critical for combating wildland fires and protecting the public. SB 88 would address the benefit side of the issue, creating more stability and security for our firefighters. This would be an excellent investment for the state of Alaska, making the profession more attractive to potential recruits and encouraging experienced firefighters to stay in the program. About 70% of money spent on AK wildfires last year went to outside resources. Outside resources are much more expensive. Also unfamiliar with unique Alaska firefighting tactics and fuel types.
Having a more experienced and stable wildland firefighting staff would save the state money in the long run. Through the chair, committee members, I urge you to support Senate Bill 88 because it will help protect the people of the state of Alaska. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Vicki Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Vicki Hewitt. I was born and raised in Alaska, and this is my 24th year in education. I speak in support of SB 88. I've recently heard many educators talk about leaving the profession and the state because when they learn about the details of TERS 3, they're shocked, stunned, and worried for their future and that of their families. Independent projections have shown that public employees are highly likely to run out of money during their retirement years after working a 30-year career. There is more to this than just the financial pension at the end of a career in public service. Fortunately, SB 88 also restores the modest death and disability benefits that Americans normally are protected by with Social Security. Unfortunately, it won't come in time for a school counselor from Delta who had a catastrophic accident off the job that left her paralyzed. She was heartbroken to learn that not only does she not receive Social Security disability benefits, but the TERS 3 disability only applies to accidents that happen on the job, so she is paralyzed and basically destitute. In part due to her choice to become a teacher in Alaska, where our teachers are not in Social Security. Another unintended consequence of our current system is the vulnerability of children who unexpectedly lose their parents. When a child loses a parent in this way, they lose a lifetime of income that would have supported them as they grew into adulthood. Social Security built in a safety net by providing a modest monthly support that keeps them out of poverty. But this is not available to Alaskan public employees who were hired after 2006. Fortunately, SB 88 restores this benefit. These are some of the reasons that I support SB 88, and I hope you will too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Vicki, for your testimony. Up next in the room, Seth Church, followed by Greta Wade. But first online, Justin Mack.
Good afternoon, through the chair. My name is Justin Mack. I'm speaking in support of SB 88. I currently serve as Secretary Treasurer for the Alaska Professional Firefighters Association. I work for the Anchorage Fire Department as a captain and have been with them for 12 years. There is widespread support for SB 88 in our organization, over 500 professional firefighters and EMS personnel across the state. We have advocated for a shared risk solution where employees, employers, retirees, and the state share responsibility in addressing recruitment and retention and giving Alaska workers dignified retirement. The legislature is right to be concerned about entering a defined benefit system, but pensions can be done right. The foundation for this plan has been several years in the making and does not land on your desk without careful thought and consideration of what is best for the state, local communities, and PERS members. We have worked hard to make sure we don't get into another unfunded liability situation. This is not the old system. It pays for itself and saves local communities millions in recruitment and retention. I truly believe that a secure retirement is the cornerstone of Alaska's future. As we look around the state, we see a need to attract and keep skilled workers. Recruitment and retention is an issue everywhere, but we have what it takes to address the problem here at home. Outside groups like the Reason Foundation and Americans for Prosperity have one item on their agenda, and that is to obstruct. They are lobbying the legislature with fear and manipulated numbers, out-of-state funding, attempting to sway Alaska decision-making to meet a political agenda. The only agenda here should be solving the problems facing Alaska's communities. Washington's LEFT 2 program has been fully funded for 45 years. They currently sit at 105% funded level and have increased in benefits. Our plan uses best practices of successful plans around the country. I believe that this committee and the larger coalition are here to solve the problems facing Alaska, and every community in Alaska will tell you they have a problem. This problem will continue to grow until this legislature takes the necessary steps to address it. Doing pensions right takes work, but it also takes a legislator that sees value in their employees. When we look at systems that work, when we dive into why pensions fail, and when we prioritize the men and women who serve our communities, we start to see a path to solving this problem.
Please conclude your remarks.
We see a future where local communities have the chance to retain workers and be competitive. On behalf of Alaska's professional firefighters, we ask that you move forward with this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Seth Church, you're next. Greta Wade.
Good afternoon. My name's Greta Wade. I am a registered nurse, and I'm a fourth-generation Alaskan from Sand Lake in Anchorage. Kind of lived all over the state. I was a public health nurse back in the day when they trained us well, and lots of time and energy invested into our training. I loved being a public health nurse, flying to Nome and sleeping on the floor of a clinic and giving vaccinations and well-child exams to 0 to 3-year-olds. It was awesome. Unfortunately, I didn't quite come in at the right time, because at the time, it's a little bit long story, but didn't come in at the right time to be a part of anything above a tier 3. And I was okay with the cut and pay. Being a nurse, you can work elsewhere and make a better salary. But I couldn't do that and not have a retirement. I couldn't dedicate my entire career with a cut and pay with no promise of the ability to retire with dignity. So I really urge you as leaders to think of the big picture. We can't afford not to support this bill. We can do it right this time. We got to support it. We got to keep our middle class strong. And I'm counting on you to do your part to make that happen. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next online, Laura Lund. Following Laura in the room will be Bernadette Wilson and Marianne Nelson. Ms. Lund, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Laura Lund. I'm a wildland firefighter with the State of Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection. I'm speaking on behalf of myself here to express my support for SB 88. I've been a wildland firefighter for 8 years and a lifelong Fairbanksan. I've worked with the state at Fairbanks for 5 years. In my tenure here, I've seen the majority of my colleagues into whom the state invested years of training resign to work for other agencies in other professions or other professions. Within the last year alone, for example, 14 firefighters have resigned out of the 22 permanent positions we have, and with them decades of cumulative experience and qualification. This isn't just turnover, as the majority of these positions left open have not been filled. Currently, we have 7 out of 15 positions among our initial attack staff who are the first responders for wildland fire in the large Fairbanks fire protection area extending as far as Salcha and Cantwell. Only one of those 7 positions has been filled. Those qualified are finding jobs with other agencies with more appealing benefits and wages. These are not simple labor positions. They require years of experience, knowledge, and skills. We serve the community as incident commanders for wildfires, responsible for millions of dollars of state money, the life, property, and resources of our communities, as well as the life and safety of fireland personnel. The state's inability to retain and recruit enough qualified people for these critical jobs has massive and dire consequences for us remaining employees and for our community. It renders us unable to catch fires as quickly and effectively. We now rely on bringing firefighters up from out of state to staff our fires, and this all costs the state and its taxpayers far more money. The primary reason for this is wages and benefits that A, do not reflect the work we do and responsibility we carry, and B, are not competitive with other agencies in our profession. Giving state employees a choice between a defined contribution and defined benefit pension retirement plan would be a keystone measure towards improving our ability to retain and recruit the personnel needed to protect our communities and resources. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Bernadette Wilson. Please state your name and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Bernadette Wilson. I am the State Director of Americans for Prosperity, Alaska. We represent thousands of grassroots advocates across the state of Alaska, including those that cannot afford to fly into our state capital, and especially those that do not have the union positions that they have the availability to take time off from work to come down here and testify. $6.1 billion is the amount of money that the state of Alaska still owes on its previous defined benefit plan. $9 billion is what this plan is estimated to cost as we move forward. We have told Alaskans that we cannot afford a full permanent fund. There has been talk in this legislature in the last several years of whether or not an income tax is needed, a sales tax. And I think that we need to ask ourselves exactly how do we intend to pay for this. We have heard these heartbreaking stories from teachers, yet what we're failed to recognize is that the burden to pay for that is going to be put on those. And we are more than happy to provide you with those numbers and how we got to those numbers. Additionally, it was the comment was made here in this committee that most firefighters do not know the difference between a 401k and a defined benefit plan. That was stated on the record, and we have that audio. So I would question if defined benefit is what is deterring people from joining, if that is the issue for recruitment, but yet they don't know the difference. If someone could compile both of those for us, that would be wonderful. I would like to see that. 86% of the police departments across the country that have defined benefits still have retention problems. A quick Google search regarding the labor shortage will show you that there's retention problems all across the country in various lines of work. We heard stories about people that will have to move out of state. We question if we want to talk about a retention, how is anyone going to be able to afford their home? How will they be able to afford to stay here? We are not saying that there is nothing that should be done. We do not think that legislators should be given false choices between either you cannot support defined benefit or you don't support our police and fire. There are other things that we can do, and we would like to see the survey that shows that this will help retention. I have not seen that yet. Thank you.
Up next in the room, Marian Nelson, followed by Doug Tansey. But first online, Elizabeth Reeves Ramos.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can. Please begin. Ma'am, we can hear you. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Liz Reeves Ramos. I've been an employee with the state of Alaska for about 8.5 years, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. When I started with the state, I was in my late 20s, and retirement didn't really matter to me at that point. Now I'm, 38 years old and starting to think about retiring, and I'm starting to look outside of state employment because of the lack of, a secured monthly retirement. People have talked a lot about other factors. I want to talk about the retention. What I've seen as a state of Alaska employee, I've worked for the Division of Public Assistance, the Office of Public Advocacy, and currently with Adult Protective Services. And it is a revolving door, and it's a real problem. And you look at Division of Public Assistance and the immense backlog that they're in right now due to lack of recruitment and retention of the eligibility technicians. On Monday, I got an email that said that if you were a former eligibility technician, that the state of Alaska is going to pay you overtime to process Medicaid and food stamps recertifications and applications. I'm currently a range 19. The state of Alaska is going to pay me overtime and I signed up for it because the vulnerable Alaskans have been waiting for their programs, their applications and recertifications for up to 6 months. They haven't had food stamps. They haven't had their APA. And so the state of Alaska is going to pay overtime to people that have moved beyond DPA and are now in different divisions. I'm going to be getting paid 2.3 times what an eligibility technician starts at to work this overtime. That's going to cost the state of Alaska. And then also looking at the retention, what I have seen is that the people that stay in all of these positions are the people that have been there that are tier three or tier two. The people that leave, they're all tier four that don't have the, that don't have the, they don't stay because they're not getting that retirement.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Up next in the room, Marian Nelson, followed by Doug Tansey.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, committee, for your time. My name is Marianne Nelson. I'm from Anchorage. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I'm here representing myself as a concerned citizen, mother of four young adults, and a small business owner. I'm here to speak to you today because I love this state, and I hope my children can afford to return to this state once they complete their college degrees. Quite simply, our state cannot afford this. You've heard from several others that we still owe money and unfunded liabilities from a previous defined benefit plan. So I won't give you those numbers again. I'm a small business owner, and ultimately I have to take personal responsibility to plan, prepare, and save for my future and the future of my family. I do that by making decisions on a daily basis of having to live within my means, having to set aside money out of every paycheck to put into an IRA, a 401k, depending on, you know, whatever that system might be. I'm making those decisions. I'm having to make those cutbacks. And I think that's a fair way to approach that. We, as a small business, also deal with employee retention problems, and we often offer better quality of life opportunities, as far as we try our best to accommodate more leave time or various other options that I could email you other solutions that we've come up with as a company. It's unrealistic and unethical to expect others to pay for my future. Isn't that what you're asking us to do as a state, asking us to pay for someone else's future, for someone else's retirement? It seems highly discriminatory to offer this expensive retirement plan to only a select field. If you look around this room at who is being represented here, it feels select. What about all the others? What about all the small private sector business owners? What about the mom and pop shops? They won't see a dime of this, but they're going to contribute. As a friendly reminder, you work for all Alaskans. The only other reasonable and fair option is for both parties to be paying into this. There are just times we have to say no and live within our means. I urge you and implore you to vote no on SB 88. Thank you
for your testimony. Up next in the room, Doug Tansey, followed by Matt Craigshaw. But first online, Brian Lashinsky.
Hello?
We can hear you, Brian.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is, for the record, I'm Brian Lashinsky, born and raised in North Pole, speaking on my own behalf as a private citizen mechanic working for DOT, SCF, and Fairbanks. We maintain the state's fleet of vehicles and equipment so the troopers can get to the scene while the trucks and graders can clear the roads. All other state agencies. Here at Fairbanks SCF, we've had 5 openings for nearly a year and some for much longer. Little snow applicants nearly laughing at us for the starting wages. One came in possibly still drunk. Another asked if he needed a driver's license. We just can't get qualified applicants for the wages and benefits that are being offered. There are large mechanic vacancies throughout the state, and it's only getting worse. In the past 15 years, over 5 LTC contracts, we've had over only 13% raise with 7 years in a row of zeros. That's less than 1% average annual rate. It was said that with the change going to Tier 4, we'd be made up in our wages. We're still waiting. The numbers don't lie. Anchorage International Airport has proven what it takes to fill vacancies. We need wages. We're over 30% under the competition. The state of Alaska is not competitive in attracting or retaining employees. Do we really want to lower the standards of the work we do for taking care of our trooper vehicles? Most coworkers have left recently, went on to private sector for much higher wages and similar, if not better, benefits. I'm unsure if I'm for or against SB 88 yet, as I don't have the calculators figured out. At least we have control of our 401k, not the state, the pension possibly going underfunded, that's been stated. At least we can will our 401k to our children, but we need to take a reduction in a pension to will it to our spouse even. We would need some mechanism in place for, as we have taken higher risk and invested heavily into our 401k, that we might be able to buy time and service, similar to the military. Also, raise the state's contribution to our 401k from 5 to 10, option to be looked at. If this passes, the problem recruitment and retention will not be fixed until we have competitive wages for take-home money. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Doug Tansey.
Thank you, Doug Tansey, Fairbanks, Alaska. Speaking here as the business manager for IBW Local 1547 statewide. On behalf of the nearly 4,500 members that I represent, there's a few things that I wanted to mention. The IBW Local 1547, I'm a co-chair trustee for the pension plan, which is about a $2 billion plan, hovering around 100% funded in our level. The reason I bring this up is for the fact that that is a huge anchor for our membership to stay with our program, to stay with our employers, and to stay with their employment that they're at. It is extremely beneficial for the retention and livelihood of our membership, but also it allows our members to retire on time and that they can exit the workforce and create spaces for new young people to come in and enter the workforce, that they are still contributing to our tax base, to our economy, because they have a disposable income to go out and shop and do groceries and take their grandkids out to lunches and dinners or bicycles. That's something that we've known and seen for decades, that this works. We are able to manage this and keep it funded as long as we do our responsibility and pay for the things that we said we were going to. It has been no problem whatsoever. On the second side of that, I would like to tell you what my membership expects from the state and from the budgets. We expect to have our education funded to a level that when we go to work, that our kids are getting a quality education in our schools, that they're not in oversized classrooms with too many students. We expect the police and fire and emergency services to respond in a timely manner, that they know the neighborhoods that they're working in, because they're not just new, fresh faces that are coming and going, that they know the back roads, they know the side roads, they know the fastest routes to get to respond. We expect the state to fund these things at a level that we retain our, you know, our friends and our neighbors, and that their households are safe for our kids to go and spend the night at. These are stabilizers for my organization, and this would be a huge stabilizer for the state of Alaska. I'm constantly in competition for workforce, and I can tell you right now the state of Alaska is not competing, and you're not going to get what is needed for the citizens of the state. So I do implore you to support this bill. On behalf of the IBW, we also support this bill, even though we have our own private pension plan. But thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in the room, Matt Craigshaw, followed by Katie Haddup. But first, Roxanne Abasian.
Hi, my name is Roxanne Abasian. I'm assuming you can hear me. I live in Ketchikan, Alaska. I moved here in 1979, and I'm a retired teacher. I've taught 38 years. 36 of those years were in Ketchikan. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to give public testimony. I call in support of SB 88. As I said, I'm a retired teacher. I landed on Tier 1 with a pension plan. At that time, I was told that dignified pensions for public employees were traditionally a trade-off for the lower pay and service that service jobs pay, like firefighters, peace officers, teachers. For the lower income that I would receive, I would have a healthy pension, a reliable, stable pension. My sister at the same time, who did not finish college, earned $150,000 a year, while I earned just barely $30,000. So I kept reminding myself that if I plugged along and kept doing the job that I loved, that I would be okay at the time I retired, and I am. Because I have a stable retirement, I'm able to contribute to the Alaska's economy and to my community in Ketchikan. I buy gas, groceries, I eat out, I contribute to nonprofit organizations, and I travel within the state. Pension plans support economic activity. They support jobs and incomes. We have a son who is also a teacher. He would love to return to Alaska, but without receiving a pension plan or Social Security, he's not able to do that. There is no stable retirement security here. I've watched many younger teachers remain in their districts for approximately 5 years and then leave. We do have a severe recruitment and retention problem. Defined benefit pensions provide incentives to attract and retain employees. Funded pension plans help provide a retirement security. I encourage all of you online and in the room to review the research of the National Institute on Retirement Security. If you think pension plans are too expensive or we're not able to fund them, please read the research of what's happening across our country. Go to NIRS.org. It's a question of values.
Thank you for your
that
testimony.
We don't have money.
Up next in the room is Matt. Matt, could you say and spell your name for the record? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I believe it's Cruikshank we're referring to, and if
yes.
Not, I apologize for taking someone else's time.
Yes, it is.
So I am speaking on behalf of myself, but also am the president of Public Employees Local 71, which represents operators and mechanics, all blue-collar workers across the state of Alaska. Mm-hmm. So I am I don't work for the state. I'm in an elected position. And so when I speak, I give you firsthand experience. So I have over 16 years of experience with the state. And the good old days, I remember flying all over the state into all different types of bush communities and working side by side with some of the most amazing and talented journeymen that I can even imagine. Proud to work with and saving the state money by being able to do jobs that we were able to internally save money. And so there's a huge cost that hasn't been quantified right here of the having competent and qualified personnel inside the state. Now I want to fast track. Actually, I want, before I go off that, you ask those members of why they're there in that position. And they'll tell you the same thing. And this is going back 16 years. Retirement and benefits. That's why they're there. Now here we are. So the state had a plan. You can take note of this. The old system used to be 6 months to a year, you'd be at your full wage. The state wanted to transition to a new system of steps that took 7 years to get to your full wage. So here's the reality now is we are not competitive with the private industry. How are we recruiting people to these positions? As you heard, I think it was Mr. Leshinsky referred to a 1% increase. When we've had previous governors in there, we've chose to work with the administration because I am a Republican and I can stand by that it is important to be fiscally conservative at times of need. But I want to stress that this is time now that we need to be able to recruit for our state right here because this is a state benefit. So I am supporting SB 88. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Cruikshank. Up next in the room, Katie Haddup, followed by Zach Young. But before that, we are going to go back online. You can take a seat, ma'am. Take a seat. Or David Jones.
Yeah, my name is David Jones. Thanks for taking the time to hear from me today. I am speaking in behalf of Senate Bill 88 and speaking for myself. I'm an engineer working for the state of Alaska. My wife is a teacher here in the Juneau School District. And my wife and I are both in our 30s. We've been employees of the state and school district for coming up on 8 years. We both have a strong desire to serve the public. But the problem is that we don't know if it's realistic for both of us to stay in public service with the current retirement system the way it is. Neither of us, as you guys know, pay into Social Security with our jobs, so we are relying on the retirement system set out by the state, which if left unchanged will be woefully inadequate to have any sort of meaningful retirement. Teaching is a hard profession, and I see my wife come home many days completely exasperated at the lack of staff and resources available to them. I grew up with a teacher as a stepmom, and I saw how a pension gave her the incentive to push through the hard days and complete a full career teaching in Alaska. These days, there is no such incentive. School districts across the state are struggling to hire and retain teachers as they are burning out at a seemingly ever faster rate. I have heard a few folks today, mostly from the older generations, talk about not being able to afford this change to a pension system. I would counter that I don't know if we can afford not to make this change, as folks from my generation are not going to choose to stick around and raise our kids in Alaska if the public education system continues to slide with the lack of quality teachers. I'm hopeful that this body will act to bring back a pension system for first responders, teachers, as well as other public employees to help secure our financial future and make public service a viable option for work in this state, which in the end will help all Alaskans thrive. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, David. Up next in the room, Katie Hedda. Please state your name. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, thanks for listening to me. My name is Katie Hedda. I'm a physical therapist. I'm here speaking for myself. I do work at Bartlett. I'm a casual employee at Bartlett, meaning that I come up here and I work when they're when they have a lot of need, or I love coming to Alaska, so I come up and work at Bartlett. I used to be a full-time employee at Bartlett, and everyone here keeps asking, well, where are all these people leaving? Well, I left. I have a pension down south. I get paid more down south. And I love it up here. It's wonderful up here. And I come up here and work here, and the people here are wonderful. But people do leave. They have left, and they'll continue to leave because the benefits here, they just don't stack up. Neither does the pay. So I'm here to represent all the people who have left who didn't necessarily want to, but did.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Hoda. Going back online, Leah McGeed.
Hello, my name is Leah McGidd. I am a former Anchorage School District teacher, and I am calling from the lower 48 today representing myself. In 2002, my family moved from Michigan up to Alaska, and we had our daughter in the Anchorage School District system for 8 years until we went overseas to serve the Department of Defense. And during our 10 years overseas, I was a teacher in that school system. I returned to Anchorage specifically to teach in the Anchorage School District. I left federal service and a federal pension and all of the incredible benefits that come with being a federal employee to come and serve in the Anchorage School District. And that was in 2021. I currently teach in an independent school in Michigan. I left the beautiful state of Alaska in part and mostly because of the lack of a sustainable retirement from the teaching profession in Alaska. And this breaks my heart. I miss Alaska every single day. It's an incredible place with beautiful, amazing, strong people. The students that I had there were incredible, resilient, and loving children. And I miss my teaching partners. I miss the people. What I don't miss is having an unsure future. It was a combination of no viable retirement system and no Social Security. I had to leave to be able to support my family. So I'm here in support of SB 88. I am in support of the teachers with the low pay being supported in some kind of way. And as many people have brought up in previous testimonies, it is incredibly expensive to recruit and to retain and to train new teachers. And people are leaving quickly because they don't have to be treated disrespectfully. It's the same with the firefighters, the same with the other state employees who don't benefit from anything but that tier three nonsense and from the lack of Social Security. Thank you for listening to my testimony today. And
thank you for your comments. 88. Our final two testifiers today will be Zach Young in the room, followed by our last testifier, John King, online. Please state your name. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Zach Young of Anchorage. I'm the president of the local Young Republicans there in Anchorage and the chair of the Alaska Association. I am here in opposition to Senate Bill 88. And it's not for lack of caring for all of the teachers of the educational system and all of the state employees that do deserve a good retirement. The problem that we face is that we simply can't afford it and we don't have a plan on how to fund those things. Every private citizen and taxpayer knows that if they spend more than they take in over a long period of time, they're eventually going to bankrupt themselves. And this is the situation that we put ourselves in when we look at defined benefit packages as they are written now. The estimates that I've seen have been near $8.6 billion over 30 years, which divided by 30 comes out to nearly $300 million a year in additional costs for the state of Alaska. That's just something we can't fit into our budget. And it calls into question, where is that money going to come from? That's nearly $1,000 per household. And that money is going to have to come out of money that should have gone to Alaska state residents. I think that the country as a whole is in a retirement crisis because it's extremely difficult to plan and create an opportunity for you to be able to survive for the rest of your life after retiring at 65. But it's difficult to say that we can pay all of our public employees and guarantee them a defined benefit package when we're not able to do that for each Alaskan. So I would ask you guys if we could find a plan to fund this or find other places where we'd be able to cut it out. That is a time where we can start to address these kinds of packages, but we don't have the luxury of being able to make decisions that we don't know how we're going to be able to afford or pay for them. And it's going to be a lot more painful for all the residents of the state of Alaska when we get to a point where our checks are starting to be close to bouncing. Going into financial crisis over a situation that is unfortunate, but not necessary in order to actually have employees and state workers. The fact of the matter is retirement is not the only key point that keeps a person on staff. And I hope you guys would all consider making sure that this can be funded.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We have one final testifier in the room before we go online, Crystal Hoffman.
Thank you so much for your time. My name is Crystal Hoffman. I am from Anchorage, and I'm grateful to be here. I oppose this bill, and I would like to speak from the perspective of just an independent person who works. This bill will end up being funded by people like me. And if people like me cannot continue to afford all of the extras, then we leave this state. And then who funds it? So I think something that really concerns me is what has been proposed behind this is retention. But we have a lot more issues in our state that we need to be concerned about. And as a mom, as a grandma, I don't care how happy my husband is in a job. If I don't feel safe, if my children aren't being educated well, then I don't want to stay. If our taxes we can't even afford a home, then we're not going to stay. And so I know all the people who are speaking want to say, hey, this is my occupation and I want to be funded. But nobody's funding my occupation. Nobody's funding my retirement. That's up to me. It's personal responsibility. And if I have to fund somebody else's retirement as well, I look to moving to another state just like all these other people do. And so if there's no kids to educate, nobody to pay all their retirement programs because we've all left, then what do you do? So I think we need to think about all citizens, not just the people who are asking for this defined benefit. So I oppose and I respectfully ask that you would consider the comments that have been made today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Our final testifier for the day is John King. Mr. King, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
My name is John King. I'm from Juneau, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I've been a State of Alaska employee in Juneau since 2015, and I'm a PERS Tier 4 member. I support Senate Bill 88. Alaska is in a recruitment and retention crisis for public employees. I acknowledge that the private sector is also experiencing recruitment hardships, but public employees are leaving and taking their skills to the private sector because the private sector pays more and offers bonuses. Public employment doesn't raise wages that are set, but supporting a defined benefit retirement system is one thing you can do for us. The federal government has a defined benefit plan for their employees, and my friends and colleagues are going from state service to employment there. It is also something I have considered. Most public employees in our state do not receive Social Security benefit. Without a defined benefit pension, we don't have any retirement security. Defined benefit pension plans will help recruit and retain strong public workforce for Alaskans who dedicate their lives to serving their communities. Please support this bill. Thank you for the opportunity to give public testimony.
Thank you for your testimony. That concludes our testimony, public testimony time for today. I'd like to thank everyone who did testify. If folks had testimony that was cut off or we did not get to you today, we will have further opportunities for public testimony coming up that we will notice. Also, please submit your written comments to slac@akleg.gov, and we will get those on the record. slac@akleg.gov. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Friday, March 24th, when we will take up Senate Bill 89, 51, and 93. As there is no further business to come before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, this meeting is adjourned at 8:23 p.m.